So if you noticed, I'm sure, in the hymns and in prayers and the anthem that there's a lot of king language today, and it's not our common language that we use, but it's Reign of Christ Sunday. It's Christ the King Sunday. It was a movement in the church started just about 100 years ago when, in between the world wars, they realized there was everywhere across the world, I believe it was the Pope at the time, created this event in the church to move away from nationalism. And so it was created as a reminder as to who is the leader of our lives, who is the one who encourages us and strengthens us more than governments that rise and fall. And so this, the last Sunday before Advent, which is next week, is the Christ the King Sunday. There's a Russian painter from the 19th century, long before the declaration of Christ the King, Nikolai Gay, who painted an amazing piece imagining this scene between Pilate and Jesus that Janice read. If you can imagine Pilate in resplendent robes, Jesus in a worn-out, dirty, let's say paper bag. Between them, a shaft of light separates them as Pilate asks Jesus, "What is truth?" The light shines on Pilate, but he casts a large shadow. Jesus stands in the darkness of death, as this person of power decides his fate. It's the joke of the writer of the Gospel of John to have these words in Pilate's mouth. It makes sense in one way because these words, the gospel itself, were written for a Greek community, a community comfortable with challenging philosophical questions like, what is truth? The school of philosophy allows one to wrestle with truths, bringing one's own interpretation and experience to shine on a particular question. I nearly failed philosophy when I was going in seminary, so I'm not going to get into the philosophy of it all. Preaching classes I did fine. Anyway, in this scene, however, it's a callback. The words bring us back to just a couple of chapters before. It wasn't long before this scene with Pilate that Jesus himself says, "I am the truth and the way and the life." In that scene from John 14, Jesus comforts the disciples, reassuring them amidst the confusion of many teachers in Israel, many interpreters of the law, many rabbis and people of faith promising God's particular privilege, that he was something different. He says to them, "I'm the real deal. I'm the way that will not change your life alone, but the life of your community. I am the truth that doesn't require religious actions devoid of meaning, but self-sacrifice, revealing love. I am the truth that doesn't coerce, nor force to believe as I do." He allows the disciples to hear wisdom and make up their own minds. The church is reclaiming this idea of truth. For a long time, you came to church and believed as your minister did. The minister would tell you what the scriptures meant and how to read them. It was especially true when those peasants of the time couldn't read scriptures. They followed along with the Latin mass, and whatever the priest said, they did. Scripture was treated, both then and in recent memory, as fact. And churches wielded control. But in the decline of Christianity, in the rise of post and post-post-modernity, which is where we're in, truth is individualized and personal. It's right and good for you to allow your truth to shape how you read biblical scriptures. We hear these stories of faith, we read them to see if they ring true for us. And I don't mean factual. I mean, do these stories make sense to us, both individually and collectively? Can we see ourselves in them? Have you ever been standing between yourself and an authority trying to fight for something you know is right? If we read these stories well, we can transport the framework of the story onto our own lives. I'm old enough to remember in the classroom the teacher had the overhead projector. Everybody remembers, most of you remember the overhead projector. The overhead projector had transparency slides, and you could put one on top of the other, creating a new picture as you layered them. Laid over top, these images become something new. That's what happens with Scripture. We pick up the story and place it on top of our own lives. And that experience is highly individualized. We interpret the Scripture about you and me and our journey. How we experience God is individualized too. There's no scientific method present in our religion where we can prove beyond the shadow of a doubt what happened in the tomb, what happens in our hearts when we experience faith or love or community. We walk this path, wondering about facts, but held by this truth that we pray is real enough for us. And this is the faith to which Jesus calls, a faith that requires us to figure it out for ourselves. A truth and a way and a life that rests on feelings more than facts. And so Pilate asks, what is truth? Science operates on different principles. Science is about reproducible outcomes. It's about peer review. Truth concerns itself in science with facts, not with interpretation. The struggle with our modern society is that we've gained as much as we've lost with our struggles with the truth. No longer is religion seen as the driving force in culture, as a dominant voice at the table, nor given undue bias in interpreting scriptures, not just for the benefit at all, but typically what happens is that we use scripture against people. It seems wrong now to stand up and say, you know, the Bible says, and fill it in with some sort of judgment and condemnation and hate. The minute we move interpretation out of ourselves, the meaning of Scripture loses something in translation. And I'll argue religion needed to lose that voice, that it might listen again to the world around it. Religion needed to lose its stranglehold on what it perceived to be the truth, in order to see the truths and the experiences of God, of how God was changing the lives of people outside of the church and inside too. But the problem with personalized truth, making one's own experience and wisdom as tantamount, as most important of all, is that we run a dangerous path. When you listen only to your voice or to people who agree with you, we run the risk of creating truth that is self-serving to ourselves and potentially hazardous when we wield it against another. This is the disclaimer that this is my truth and whatever I say next, come fight me after church. Verbally. Because I struggle to see how personalized truth has given strength to those that believe that vaccinations cause more harm than good. There's a significant movement of people, especially those who didn't live through the devastating eras of polio and measles and whooping cough, who have chosen not to vaccinate their children. Some are in this room. Some are in my family. And I struggle to see how this personal truth doesn't affect the people around them. How it seems reckless and dangerous, and I try to understand their truth. We were with them. Actually, we, Jennifer and I, did an alternative vaccination schedule because we were terrified about trusting the science. Trusting that which we didn't know, and the ties to autism and all of that, and heavy metals, and we just didn't know. And we did as much research as we could, eventually trusting in the truth of science. Trusting that it was trying to reduce suffering and death. My aunt suffered from polio at a very young age and still suffers, has suffered for the rest of her life. And Pilate asks, what is truth? I struggle to see how this personalized truth has given strength to those that believe climate change and changing behaviors because of it cause more harm than good. There's a significant movement of people who choose to interpret the science to their own benefit, who question the validity of the science, who doubt the motives of government in case they're wrong. Some are in this room, some are in my family. A lot are in my family. It makes Facebook and holidays awkward. Because I struggle to see how this personal truth doesn't affect the world around them. I struggle to see the perspective of those who believe it's all hooey, who refuse to make personal changes, be it recycling or energy production, because it'll cost money. Everything costs, whether we stay the same or whether we change. And there will be gains and there will be losses. But inflicting personal truth from our own little pulpit and trying to evangelize and interpret science based on our own beliefs leads us collectively down a path of suffering and death. And Pilate still asks, what is truth? I struggle to see how this personalized truth has given rise to the spread of fake news. I mean, we all giggle about it. It's hilarious. But big agencies are swaying public opinion like sheep led to slaughter, all of us not sure what's true anymore. They've taken advantage of this modern era where truth is suspect. It's been challenging in the church and in science, and because of that, we have the spread of interpretive news. Fox News and The Sun and rebel media, agencies and governments have gone online to spread their particular point of view and their particular truth. And they've made us wonder what we should truly believe. It's hard. It's very, very difficult discerning what is right. And I don't know. I really and truly don't. I don't know if vaccines will lead to the health of the planet. I hope and pray they do. I don't know if climate change and the change required by consumers will lead to the health of the planet, but I hope and pray they do. I don't know if the truths as I've gleaned from Scripture or from stories that I read online will lead to the health of the planet, but I hope and I pray they do. Pilate asks Jesus, what is truth? And I guess with the luxury and the responsibility of this pulpit, my interpretation of that is that truth is not truth for me unless it benefits everyone. Truth is not truth for me if it does not bring life to everyone. Truth is not truth if it doesn't mix personal experiences with communal hope. And I'll continue to struggle with this because the blessedness of this scene of Pilate asking Jesus what is truth. Do you know what Jesus responds? I don't know. Scene ends. We are responsible for responding in our own unique and powerful ways, both individually and communally, to the truth that has been shown and revealed to us, that we might bring hope and light to this world. I love music, and I wish I could sing for you as well as Johnny Cash could. But I'm just going to read his words, because he wrote a song called What is Truth? The old man turned off the radio, said, "Where did all the old songs go? Kids sure play funny music these days. They play it in the strangest ways. Said, it looks like me, they've all gone wild. It was peaceful back when I was a child. Well, man, could it be that the boys and girls are trying to be heard above your noise? And the lonely voice of youth cries, what is truth? A little boy of three sitting on the floor looks up and says, Daddy, what is war? Son, that's when people fight and die. The little boy of three says, Daddy, why? A young man of 17 in Sunday school being taught the golden rule, and by the time another year has gone round, it may be his turn to lay his life down. Can you blame the voice of youth for asking what is truth? A young man sitting on the witness stand, the man with the book says, raise your hand, repeat after me, I solemnly swear. The man looked down at his long hair, and although the young man solemnly swore, nobody seems to hear anymore, and it didn't really matter if the truth was there. It was the cut of his clothes and the length of his hair, and the lonely voice of youth cries, what is truth? The young girl dancing to the latest beat has found new ways to move her feet. The young man speaking in the city square is trying to tell somebody that he cares. Yeah, the ones that you're calling wild are going to be the leaders in a little while. The world's waking to a newborn day, and I solemnly swear that'll be their way. You better help the voice of youth find what is truth. For this voice calls us to community with one another, young and old, sharing wisdom deep and profound. For the voice of truth speaks in each and every one of us. May we share it for the blessing of all, we pray. Amen.